This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Ayman and Chuck on the evening edition, and now we're going to move on to the next story, which is about workplace discrimination in Malaysia. And this comes after a new study by recruitment firm Hays Asia found that 63% of Malaysian workers have felt excluded from a workplace due to discrimination.
Yeah, so the study interviewed 2,000 working professionals across Asia between April and May last year, and found that 28% of Malaysian respondents believe they were excluded from participation at work or faced a lack of respect due to their ethnicity. So to put this in perspective, this is much higher than the 17% average across the rest of Asia. Malaysians 28%, the rest of Asia 17%. Meanwhile, 51% in Malaysia said discrimination had lowered their chances of getting hired for a job, with one third of them saying it had happened to them in the past year.
So this issue about discrimination when it comes to work, right? It's a two-pronged kind of thing. First is discrimination when during the recruitment process.
Yep.
And also discrimination at the workplace itself while you are working there, and how it affects your ability to maybe participate better in the team or even earn a higher salary or rise up the ranks in the organization. And it's a conversation that continues to be vital when it comes to Malaysia, right? Because there have been many, many anecdotes and stories by people on social media, online, about how they face this sort of discrimination at the workplace. One issue that was raised last year that I remember was, of course, the language requirement. People thought that was a form of discrimination. There were arguments for and against it. So, for example, if a job requires you to speak a certain language, is it because they deal a lot with people who speak that language in terms of overseas? Or is it just like a subtle way of trying to
filter
out applicants? So it's those kind of things that always being talked about. But I'm just wondering, Chuck, have you ever sort of like seen this happening around you at the workplace during work hours?
I don't think it's happened at the workplace. Maybe in like some social events sometimes, you know, when you go overseas and people expect, you know, an Asian person to be quieter, that kind of thing. Yeah, kind of. But then, you know, sometimes you also think about it, like it could be actually coming from both sides. So one side is they expect Asian person to be quieter. And another aspect of it is my own personal feelings of like, are they discriminating against me? You know, where it could just be a normal social situation where sometimes you get along better with somebody and sometimes you don't get along with somebody.
So are you talking about like different cultural behaviors or something? So when you are overseas,
yeah,
they are used to working in a different way where maybe they treat others in a certain way, and we might misconstrue that as a...
Yeah, we might. And I think basically discrimination is a very difficult thing to actually put your finger on because, you know, it could be coming from both people in very, very subtle ways. Your own personal biases. Let's say, you know, I feel like Chinese don't get opportunities and stuff like that. And then, you know, every situation I go into, it's going to be colored with that thought. You know, so even if it's a merit-based sort of rejection or whatever, it could actually, like, I'll say, oh, you know, it's they're being racist or they're discriminating against me. So I think that, you know, this study needs to be broken down into what people perceive and what is the actual reality as well.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, there's still no denying that, you know, it is a problem, and it's important for like companies to put in place frameworks or policies or measures that can ensure that, you know, all staff, no matter what background they are from, can be valued as equally, you know, across the board, will have equal opportunities to rise up the ranks or earn the same kind of salary, because discrimination takes a lot of forms, right? Gender, race, even age as well. So everyone has like different experiences of it, and there's like different ways of like managing the issue.
Yeah, there's a balance as well. So remember yesterday during the market wrap, we talked about like the hiring of diversity experts,
yes,
right? So I feel that's going too far. You know, like you hire a person just to make sure that your workforce is diverse. You know, I feel like that could lead to a non-meritocracy. Like, you don't hire people based on what they can do, but you hire them based on, oh, a diversity hire, which actually, you know, we talked about it on Market Rep as well. One of my friends who runs a company in the UK actually did hire people based on diversity rather than on merit. So there, it's a difficult balance, I would say.
I have seen some job posts, right, which were transparent as to like what kind of requirements they are looking for and how they measure it. So I forget because it was quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. And they put like percentages, like, so for this job, we are weighing it based on like 10% skill, 20% experience, blah, 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 all this
and
kind
like
of 5% thing.
5% diversity.
5% diversity, maybe something like that. So okay. I think one of the ways that we can have more transparency or, you know, be better in terms of the job recruitment process is to have better transparency for companies to sort of delineate how exactly do they measure or determine which candidates are the right ones, that, you know, the job candidate the job applicants can have a better idea as well as to what exactly are the necessary things that need to be focusing on. So we are going to dive deeper into this issue with our guest Avinash Kumar from Monroe Consulting Group after the break. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts or experiences with workplace discrimination, you can always share it with us. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Ayman and Chuck on the evening edition, and we are talking about discrimination in the workplace. And this comes after a study by the recruitment firm Hays Asia. They found that 63% of Malaysian workers have felt excluded from a workplace due to discrimination.
Right. So to take us through why Malaysia in particular is seemingly prone to workplace discrimination and how to foster more diversity in the workplace, we're crossing over to Avinash Kumar from Monroe Consulting Group. Good evening, Avinash. Thank you for speaking with us today. So Malaysian job seekers are much more likely to think they're being discriminated against. Based on what you've seen, is this feeling warranted?
To a certain extent, yes, because discrimination happens in many ways, and not only towards racial, but also aspects such as gender, age, beliefs, and even capabilities as well. In many cases, discrimination in job search has become harder to prove these days, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. And the organization is seen as an ecosystem that fits different personalities under a common goal. And to be a part of that organization, there is always existing cultures and practices which is placed to high importance. And this, in a way, creates some sort of biasness when it comes to the selection process. But on another angle, or on a different perspective, the current workforce is sort of highly competitive, with more people having very similar qualification. And because there is not right practices in the recruitment process itself, factors such as discrimination comes into play or comes into question.
And could you walk us through what the law currently says about discrimination, and to what extent do companies follow the law?
The law itself, of course, there is clear laws where discrimination are not to take place, and that's required transparency when it comes to the hiring process or within the workspace itself. However, on a much more different angle, I believe this falls under the responsibilities of the companies to also have internal policies to fight off discrimination, and it should be driven not only through the company's policies but also the managers, because managers play a very important part in a company's ecosystem, and a lot of employees or workers, they actually follow what their managers say, and the kind of trends that being set drives from the leaders itself. So on a very wider perspective, there is laws and all over there, but the practices within organization is not too common, mainly because there's not existing policies or and etc.
Right, so you're talking about like workplace culture here, lah. You often hear people saying like there's nothing wrong with hiring people of a similar culture or language, and that folks, you know, will tend to naturally gravitate towards people who are kind of similar to them, lah. But this, of course, might result in discrimination and exclusion by itself, right? So how do you consciously move out of this mindset?
My personal opinion, this is actually a very natural behavior of the human species itself. I mean, when you're on a very general perspective, you can see this not only at work, but also in schools, universities, politics, even other mediums and so on. The attraction is always going to be there. And as a recruiter, so I've had clients come to me seeking for talents with very specific ethnicity or languages due to the need of the business. For instance, among Malaysia's biggest economic partners, China. And in order to conduct business, certain importance has been placed on the Mandarin language, thus limiting the talent pool itself. This itself creates the term business or cultural fit. Companies are very, very concerned that a wrong hire can go a long way to disrupt the entire ecosystem. But one problem that's happening here is that when we invoke cultural fit as a reason to hire someone, it is far more common to use it not to hire someone now.
And what is the value of having diversity, and you know, what does actual diversity in the workplace actually look like?
End of the day, when you look at the organization itself, it's a process of adaptation. Adaptation happens from time to time. And I think when you look at the current transforming economy, diversity is helping organization to shift its business from a brick and mortar office to more of an online marketplace. Diversity in a way is actually helping organization to expand its perspective, approaches, strategic tactics, new ideas, and assessment of the emerging trends. When you talk about diversity itself, what does it mean? It's actually when harmony is created between different groups and each showing respect to each other's differences. Because being part of a global organization itself over here at Mondro, we do hire or we do lead a team of diverse individuals in terms of race, personalities, culture and background, which allows us to actually in a way to cater a wide variety of clients and create a certain sort of relevance, which provides us an edge over the competitor itself. So despite the differences, the thing to unite all would be the organizational culture, because even though the diversity is there, there need to be a certain sort of platform to unite. That's where the organization values and cultures comes into play. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the key people who need to drive this down into the organization are managers, because they, in a way, when they sync with the corporate values, they create a bridge, or the gaps are actually bridged here.
Okay, so actually coming back to the survey, so 28% of Malaysian respondents believe they were excluded from participation or faced a lack of respect due to their ethnicity. So talking about this respect specifically, how can this issue of seeking respect from your colleagues be worked into policies and company culture?
Certain measures has to be in place in the first place to create such environment for every colleagues or for every different background sort of colleagues to actually respect each another. When you look at within the workspace, based on the conversation with some of the clients, a way that I've seen they have been able to be successful in this is to have an equal opportunity policy, which is to, in a way, promoting transparency. This is to avoid confusion or uncertainty among members when it comes to understanding the rights and responsibilities. I mean, apart from that, setting policies, it's important to promote them through trainings and leading by example. But again, when I mentioned earlier, Malaysia being a multiracial country, we have people from different racial, genders and beliefs working under one common roof. And some of the things that, I mean, I've seen many companies do in Malaysia is actually embracing every culture, making them understand, look, even though if it's a small group or it's a bigger group or minority or a major, every certain religious beliefs are actually celebrated. And there is a huge importance shown to respect everyone's belief in the workplace. So it's already happening already, and company needs to continue to do this, because then it puts a high value on everyone's beliefs, and then in a way you are creating a harmonious workplace for everyone.
Avinash, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. That was Avinash Kumar from Monroe Consulting Group speaking to us about the situation regarding workplace discrimination in Malaysia. And we've been asking for some of your thoughts and comments about this, and we do have some messages coming in. First up is from Maggie, saying more than 3 decades ago, a Malaysian who held an Australian degree applied for a job in Singapore, but he was not given expat remunerations. Is there a different set of rules because he was not a white man?
Okay. How do we even begin to unpack this one? Okay. He was not given expat remunerations, different set of rules.
Sometimes when you think about like how we, for example, our own migrant workers in Malaysia, right? We have different standards when it comes to, the amount of pay we give, the amount of respect we give to people. So if you are a person from a certain country, you are considered an expat, and you are allowed to earn better pay and work in better jobs. Whereas if you happen to look a bit different, perhaps you are considered, a unskilled or low-skilled migrant worker, and that really affects the way you are treated in the country. So there is a very interesting question here about, does the way a person looks, the way their background, does it affect how they are treated in the country that they live in?
Yeah, so I mean, I personally know people who definitely qualify under the white man category, who have not gotten an expat package as well. So this was something that we were talking about earlier, how we have these preconceived notions that we're being discriminated against. And so if we don't get a particular opportunity, we feel that it's because of discrimination. It might not always be true. I'm not saying that it's always true or always untrue, but sometimes, our own perceptions would actually affect whether we think we're being discriminated against or not.
Yeah. And we have an anonymous listener sending a message saying, I do experience high-level discrimination in my workplace. In fact, there is an elderly man who owns a shop nearby telling me that in the past 40 years, he has seen a big change from a mixed race based in the company that I work in to one particular race being overly dominant currently. Another form of discrimination that exists, the parent company take over another discrimination on the new subsidiary employees.
Well, I mean, this goes back to what Avinesh was saying just now earlier as well, and how you tend to hire people who are similar to you. So it might not necessarily be a conscious type of racial discrimination, but it could be a subconscious one as well.
Subconscious, because sometimes you may feel more familiar or comfortable or something like that, is it?
Yeah.
So which is why I think that it's important to have a policy, because even though that might be a natural thing or something, but
proclivity,
it will make people feel not included. And if you do have a mixed composition of workers in your office, it's also important to make sure that even small things like the fact that you communicate in a language that everyone can understand, for example, those little things can ensure that people will feel included in the organization and they can participate better as well.
Yeah, but I think that the company actually would adjust by itself to some extent, right? Like if a company only hired a certain race all the time, then I feel they would cease to be competitive, at mm-hmm. some point in time, and they would naturally want to move towards a more diverse working culture. So like, for instance, I run a website called Chili Sauce, and my office looks like a Petronas ad. Like we have, almost by sheer coincidence, mm-hmm. an even number of most of the races in Malaysia.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And we just realized it one day when we were taking a group picture. It was like, hey, this looks like a Petronas ad.
So if you have any thoughts about this, whether you faced or anyone has faced discrimination in the workplace, and thoughts about how we can foster greater inclusivity in the workplace in Malaysia, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And we'll be coming back after this, so stay tuned with us on the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.